When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. Welcome to an unexpected podcast. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lane.
And this is a moment in Middle Earth, brought to you by yours truly, me.
The Flannel Wizard.
Easy
taking us back into these great...
himself. Man. Dude, Okay, so this is... I'm just going to jump right into all this, all right?
Yeah, let's do it.
So... the question for us tonight, as it is well past midnight, it is 12:05, yeah. Right?
Yes.
The question is to sleep or not to sleep, right? Ooh. This is the question of this passage, and so we'll kind of see if folks can start to kind of guess where this is going. You know?
Okay. All right.
To sleep or not to sleep? I feel like
not sleep. So
right now we don't have a choice.
My mind goes to like. But I know where you pulled this, so it can't be this. But I'm thinking like Sam eavesdropping on Gildor and Frodo, like choosing to sleep or not to sleep.
Oh, wow.
But I know that's wrong.
It's wrong. Yeah, but you'll see. So, okay, I was tying this back to the Nightbreeze. I decided to, since we came up with the sniff of the Nightbreeze, and it's something that stuck out to us in Two Towers, I decided to pull up PDFs. Start searching for breeze, night breeze, all these different things.
Okay.
There is so much. There's so many times where he mentions breeze, like the wind, but also then just like this breeze, which is a little bit different than just this gust of wind or whatever, right? It's just something different. And so to see it used, it's so often that he talks about the breeze at night in the Two Towers.
Wow.
So we're going to the Two Towers.
Wow.
It's where we're at. To tie it into the very last episode that you guys will have heard on this podcast, Lane was talking about, you know, your journey with Viggo, your family. Yep. And one of the lines that stood out to you, I remember during that time was, and I have it right here, it's when Gandalf says, there are other forces at work in this world, Frodo, besides the will of evil, right?
Let's go.
You know what I'm saying? That's what's going on. And then the idea of to sleep or not to sleep.
Okay.
So we're going to pair those two together. And it just sort of came to me. I literally just started listening to Two Towers, thinking like, let's find a moment in Middle Earth. And this actually just chapter two came out of nowhere for me, right?
Wow. Okay.
It opens, and I want to kind of paint some of this, and I'm not going to read it verbatim, but I'll kind of go through some of it. And they're debating. This is Gimli, Legolas, and Aragorn on the chase, my friend. They are chasing down. They're trying to get Merry and Pippin.
Yeah.
And this will lead us right into the Nightbreeze. That's where the Nightbreeze phrase comes from, is actually this batch of chapters where we first, in the podcast, you and I stumbled across that phrase. And I'm going to read it to you again in a little bit. And I'm going to help you.
Okay.
You're going to recall this.
This is great. Yeah.
I told you. I was just going to try to paint the picture for you.
Oh, dude.
So they're debating this choice. Gimli wants to rest. Legolas is like, let's go on. They give the choice to Aragorn.
Oh, yeah.
And Aragorn says, you have given the choice to an ill chooser. Right? That's what he says.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like, do they sleep or do they not? And so everything, like, he falls silent. He's gazing north and west. into the gathering night for a long while. He says, quote, "We will not walk in the dark," he said at length. "The peril of missing the trail or signs of other comings and goings seems to me the greater. If the moon gave enough light, we could use it. But alas," you know, and then so he basically decides that, no, this is not, we are going to rest. Now, it's like debated, and it goes on and on and on about like what's what, like what should we do? They just have this kind of great debate about whether to sleep. The irony here is that I was reading this and it sounds like us. Oh, I know. That's what I said. It's like, so late. It's just should we shut her down now, or should we or should we continue on? And the choice was given to me, and I being the better of the choosers. What? I said push on. Actually, ironically, that's the exact opposite. What happens is they choose to sleep.
Real quick too, I want to like, so that you're saying this, all these things are coming back to me, or well, not all of these things, but like when Aragorn says, "You've asked and the ill chooser," is that what he says?
Yep.
At the breaking of the fellowship, this is something that comes up where he's saying one of his lines is, "Every decision I make goes amiss." Yeah. Like he has this feeling of, because everything's kind of falling apart, like Frodo's leaving and Boromir's been killed and the hobbits are taken, and he takes all this responsibility because it's Gandalf's not leading them anymore. Now he's the one in charge, and he feels like every decision he's made has been the wrong decision.
Yes.
And so I love that is an allusion to how he's been feeling lately. He just feels like, and imagine that, Aragorn, of all people in Middle Earth, the frickin' returning king. And that's why he's so great, because there is that measure of humility where he's just like, or a realism or whatever, and he's like, you know, I've been messing everything up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And he really feels that way. That's why it's so debated. Yeah. And you've also got, all of these guys are legendary, and all of these, you know, Gimli represents the Dwarven kingdoms. I mean, he's from a royal line, right?
Yeah.
I mean, then you have Legolas, the same thing. And then so all these guys are royal in some way, and they're monumental, and they're all deciding different which way. Gimli's like a rock. Like he's sort of like, I'm not so sure. Right? Legolas is like, we've got to press on. And then Aragorn's sort of, you know, torn in between. And so he decides, it's so crazy because he makes the right choice here. He 100% makes the right choice to go to sleep. And so he says, here we go. "Well, I have chosen. So let us use the time as best we may. He cast himself on the ground and fell at once to sleep, for he had not slept since their night under the shadow of Tol Brandir." He's I don't know how he's still running, right? It's nuts.
How many days after the departure of Boromir, they're like the breaking of the fellowship, is this? Is this a couple, this few is, days?
We're on a couple days here, I think. A day or two.
Because that would have been, so like the last time he would have slept was the night before the day where it all just
where the breaking sideways. Everything happens. Exactly.
Wow.
Because they instantly take up the pursuit right there.
Right there, yeah.
And I think
and they
we
run through the night.
Like later
oh,
on.
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Oh boy. Lane just clicked out.
Oh no, dude.
You rascal.
Oh no! I went to sleep.
Lane literally went to sleep on this episode. He literally
made the wrong choice this time, though. It was the wrong choice.
Wow,
sorry.
Actually, that's very fitting. You very much Aragorned it. You very much said
just
it
immediately.
Is
I laid down and went immediately to sleep. Which I wish I could fall asleep that like that. By the way,
oh,
that would
God.
Be a gift.
I know we're both gonna be up for
maybe I'm not
hours
tired enough.
Now.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
So later on, though, you find out that I think it's like nine. Once they get all the way. They come across Amer and everything. It's like 9 days or something that this has been going on.
Man.
And I can't even say 3 days ago we came across this, you know, orc pack and destroyed them. So for a while, I tried to put together the timeline. I'm sure there's people out there who maybe tried to piece this together. And I think we even mentioned this in the reread, but I honestly cannot remember. Like, they choose to go to sleep that night. The orcs, that night that they go to sleep...
Mm-hmm.
The Rohirrim are made that very night are made aware of the orc pack. That very night they're made aware there are other forces at work
take
in this
up
world.
The slack. Yeah.
Yes.
Besides
the will
gosh.
Of evil. And so it's like we sometimes as Aragorn and the heroes and shit, we can take a rest. We can actually like we don't have to do everything. You know?
Wow.
It was I was like, okay, wow. And so So, like, because they wake up. Let me read the rest of this. This is pretty cool. So, he had, let's see. Before dawn was in the sky, he woke and rose. Gimli was still in a deep slumber, but Legolas, this is kind of cool. Legolas was standing, gazing northward into the darkness, thoughtful and silent as a young tree in a windless night.
Wow. Windless.
Windless
so
night.
So no wind.
No night breeze.
Wow.
And also alluding to a young tree. The trees.
Mm-hmm.
The Ents coming right here. I mean, this is all like, so there's actually a couple mentions of trees before we ever get there with Merry and Pippin. You know? And this is the reason we want to do Moments in Middle Earth is because we go so fast through the chapter, and we went through all these different things. We're covering a full chapter, and we're not going to do that here.
Yeah.
We're really just breaking down this moment, this decision to sleep.
Yeah.
And it's like he chooses to do that. Then they wake up. Let me see what else I have here. Legolas says, "They are far, far away," he said sadly, turning to Aragorn.
Hmm.
And he says, "I know in my heart that they have not rested this night." So, okay, that seems that seems upsetting. And sometimes we're like, man, should we have rested?
They would also be thinking we lost ground. Like they just got that much farther ahead.
Right, right.
And that was the conflict too that they were when they were debating, like we cannot let up at all.
Right. So here's the thing with what's interesting about Legolas is that, like, yes, physically he can see far, but he also has that sort of like elvish kind of like magic or whatever to sense and see further than the actual natural eyes can. And he even he says something like, you know, an eagle could overtake them now. It's like they're that far away. But Aragorn says, nonetheless, we will still follow. Even though they're out of sight and beyond our reach and we probably couldn't catch up, we will still follow as we may.
Did you say that? Sorry to interrupt. Legolas said only an eagle could
could overtake them now.
Dude, one of the names of Aragorn, because he's got all those names, I think one of them is Wingfoot.
Really? Wow.
I believe so.
That's awesome. It's it's just
wow. It's so layered.
There's so much like magic and in such a subtle way. Like these characters are so epic that they can hear things and sense things in the natural realm that we can't. It's become supernatural, right? And their abilities, it's nuts. So
as right here. Yeah. So sorry, real quick. Encyclopedia of Arda. Wingfoot, a reference to the speed at which Aragorn, as one of the three hunters, made his way across the fields of Rohan.
Holy smokes.
So it's not only a name he had, but it's a name he gained on this very chase.
Dang. I mean, that's crazy, because that's literally right there. So only an eagle could overtake them now. And that's what Legolas says. And Aragorn
Fly
is the
you
one.
Fools. Like, oh my gosh, dude.
Yep. And Aragorn literally is like, nonetheless, even though that's the case, even though everything you tell me says we can't catch up with them or whatever, we will still follow as we may. Right? We're still going forward. So it's like, wow, he wakes Gimli, and the scent is growing cold, but it's still dark. So Legolas on a hilltop could not see them till the sun is up. I fear they have passed beyond my sight from hill or plain under moon or sun, said Legolas. And here's where I say they drifted into those other forces at work. You know what I mean? So there's this now has been given over to the riders of the Rohirrim. So let me read on here. Where sight fails, the earth may bring us rumor. Is what Aragorn says. So he's like, okay, hold on a second. If sight is failing us, let's look to the
tracker
earth.
Tracker senses.
Right?
Yeah.
Nuts. So
my God.
The land, and he says this, the land must groan under their hated feet. And that's when he gets down and
he just listens to the rock.
Right? So, and this is where this is where he actually hears the other forces at work in this world. Straight up, he hears the hooves, and he says, like, the rumor of the earth is dim and confused. Nothing walks upon it for many miles about us. Faint and far are the feet of our enemies, but loud are the hooves of the horses. It comes to my mind that I heard them, even as I lay on the ground in sleep. They troubled my dreams, horses galloping, passing in the west.
God.
Dude, it's such an epic moment that I'm like, wow, while you were sleeping, while you were gathering your strength, getting that rest, because he felt like that, and that this is just the kinship of Rohan. I mean, them coming and Two Towers is all about them, man. It's all about this.
Yeah, it is their story. Yeah.
And it's so to to have this king go through that journey and with his friends here to realize sleep mattered that night. And actually, they will sleep again. Like, the next night, they will decide again, what do we do? He'll look to the moon. He'll look around again. And it's almost like he has to let go. Like, they're letting go a little bit of this control and this running them down like Legolas wants to. And he again sort of has this sense that there's other forces at work. And they go to sleep. And that is then the morning. So the night that...
When they see Gandalf?
So
is that when Gandalf comes back?
No, not yet. So this is they're still in the pursuit. So we have like, I don't know if this is night two or night three where I talked about they slept. The next night they get up and you're thinking, okay, he heard the hooves and he heard the Rohirrim. They run. They're after it. They're making up ground. They sleep again. And on the following dawn is when Legolas sees the red sun rising, right?
The red sunrise.
Yeah. Mm. And so that's when they know that, I mean, that's when we know that the orcs
done.
Yeah. And so just the night prior is when Éomer learned of the orcs passing through his land.
Scouts came, brought back the news.
And that night, they take up the chase as Aragorn and Gimli sleep. In the nighttime,
passing the baton.
They go forward. This is nuts. And so here's where it really hit for me. So to move us into this idea of the night breeze, like the night breeze, where we got, you and I kind of got carried away. I remember that episode where I was just like, this is
great term.
Awesome. Yeah. This is awesome. Yeah. It's later on. So I'm going to skip past all the stuff where they're kind of, where Éomer will show up and they talk and he kind of explains what has gone on. They move forward, and I think it's Gimli who's talking about this. They're debating about, like, they're sad because they're not sure yet. Yeah. Did Merry and Pippin make it? And they take refuge under this tree. It looked like a chestnut and a chestnut tree. Hmm. And yet it still bore many broad brown leaves of former years, like dry hands on long splayed fingers. So...
All this references to
the Instacome. And it says that those leaves rattled mournfully in the night breeze. That's the first time. And I don't think we even noticed that the first time we were reading. That's the first mention of the night breeze. And so Gimli's saying that he shivers and then they're just sort of there. Let us light a fire, he said. I care no longer for the danger. Let the orcs come as thick as, you know, summer moths or whatever. So, okay, whatever. Gimli's fired up.
That's awesome.
Now, you remember how, like, we get all of that and then we get a flashback? We actually flashback then to Merry and Pippin and we're with them for a little while, right?
Yes. It's amazing how he is able to use that, like, jumping around in time. And spending, because that was the big challenge for these, like the next, like Two Towers and Return of the King, right, is that our main characters are all over the place.
Yeah.
And so instead of like intercutting in chapters, like you build a couple chapters with one group, you move to another group, but you jump back to when you started with that first group.
Yep.
It's so incredible. Honestly, it feels more authentic that way.
Yes.
Because especially.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Actually, like I think we talk about this time and time again. You wouldn't have known what the other group was doing anyway. Like, so to true, cut true. Away almost doesn't make any sense. Like, it makes sense in movies, but in a book, it shouldn't make sense, but it builds suspense. Yeah.
Yeah.
It creates mystery. Yeah.
It's cool. It's really
forgot about that.
Because, like you said, yeah, it is authentic. They don't know.
Yeah.
And so then we, the reader, are sort of like experiencing both sides of this coin, and it's wild. And when we get to this moment where we get a little bit of Merry and Pippin, but they're kind of listening in on the orcs and stuff, and it says, this description is nuts, and this is where I'll kind of, then we can just kind of freeform discuss here, but it says that the night was cold and still. And there's all of this imagery with, like, the night breeze and it blowing across the land. I mean, I go back and read chapter 2 again and 3 and 4,
okay.
Like the beginning of Two Towers, and just listen for all the mentions of the breeze across the land, the wind blowing. Yeah. And it's wild. And also all of this, like, the sun setting and rising and the moon and was it hidden and all the different things. And then all the references to trees. Like that's why we got buried. We got stuck in these chapters because there is so freaking much. And it's why we want to go back and do Moments of Middle Earth. So the night was cold and still, and all around the knoll on which the orcs were gathered, little watchfires sprang up, golden red in the darkness, a complete ring of them. So I remember
Ring of Fire.
The Ring of Fires.
I remember this.
And so it's from Merry and Pippin's perspective, but also the orcs and what they're seeing spring up around them.
Dude, and how ironic that it's orcs that their doom is going to be a ring of fire.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
When that's the weapon that their master seeks out.
He's the author of the freaking century, dude. Lane. He's the author of the freaking century. Like,
maybe of all time. Especially, as you know what always baffles me is when you think about, like, I was practicing podcasting the other day, imagining talking to you.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I'm like, this story that we love was literally secondary. It was not the thing he loved most. It was not even the reason he wrote these stories was to create a world where his languages could live.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Like, that just blows my mind. It's like, I don't even know another comparison. It's like, I'm gonna go out and grow the world's finest garlic, but to show how good my garlic is, I'm going to just go ahead and be the best chef in the world. It doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't even make any sense, man.
I know. It's crazy, man. I love it. That's why we love it so much. It's why we get stuck in, and we just can't. Anyone who's a fan of this, and we're always begging people who watch the movies or who have just been a fan of, even if you watch Rings of Power, whatever, get in here to the actual, where it's at. Get into Tolkien because it'll change your life. It's freaking phenomenal. So here we go with this imagery, though, and I'm almost done. I'm driving to the Nightbreeze line. Because I remembered we do a lot of, I think in that chapter I said, imagine being one of the riders of Rohan and imagine being in this ring. So to step out. And it was,
You did. Right. Yes.
And it wasn't until I hit the Nightbreeze part that I thought of that. So we're getting right up to that. They were within longbow shot, but the riders did not show themselves against the light. So they create all these lights, a ring of lights around them, and they step into the shadows. They're on their bellies. They're sniffing the night breeze. They themselves are quiet, still. They've been there before the fires were lit. They were all around them in the darkness. And I mean, really, it's like they've caught on to this scent, this of orc in their land. The scouts picked up on this, and they are hunting them. They are the forces, the other forces in the world that are also not evil, that are doing good things. And it's just this kind of like, you know, it reminds you of community and fellowship, right? And the fellowship's been broken, but yet here is a new one forming.
A new fellowship,
I mean,
holy crap. Okay, so much. Holy crap. So, like, oh my God.
Let's go.
This makes me want to read I want to read the stories again. Yeah. Okay, so one thing I wanted to ask you is that moment where Legolas is pretty much saying, like, there's no way we can catch him now. It's hopeless. And Aragorn says, well, we're going to try anyway.
Yeah.
Would you say, like, after we've read the stories and just the feelings you get when you hear lines like that, because that's not the first time we hear that kind of a conversation or that an answer to hopelessness. Would you say that is like the main message for Lord of the Rings? That like, I mean, even if something is hopeless, you try. So like, okay, that same idea is what when I was working on season one and imagining those Hobbit archers,
yeah,
led by Ban Galpsey, like not necessarily the Arva Dui and the Northern Kingdom, but like really those hobbits, like that they would have thought, yeah, I mean, like there might not be any hope, but we have to honor our promise. We have to repay the kindness, possibly with our lives. But like, I mean, that comes up time and time again of,
yeah,
there's no hope. Yep, but we got to try anyway.
We have to do, we have to go. Yeah, we have to see it through. I mean, I what stood out in our minds was the example of Sam. Yeah. But as you go back through, and this is what I mean, you know, 5 years from now when we do a reread or whatever, literally there are so many freaking moments that I had to narrow down which one to pick I guarantee there's so many of these moments where like one of the characters will have their moment where they saw it through. And that's a lens why I've been looking. I just found it here with Aragorn, and then you can find it again with other characters. So
even Galadriel, I think Galadriel, one of her ideas or quotes is that they're fighting the long defeat.
Mm.
So even in that term, in that terminology, you're essentially saying like, we're going to lose, but we're still fighting anyway. So just like, it's interesting that in that little conversation with Legolas and Aragorn that came up. Another thing, okay, so we're talking about the night breeze. There's lots of wind. There's lots of elements, obviously. Like Middle Earth is definitely, Arda is definitely a character in this chapter heavily. And like you said, foreshadowing the whole like nature versus industry that comes up, like the fact that it's trees and Ents that awaken and help defeat these dark forces. But like, okay, so the breeze, the wind, the night breeze, isn't that something that's the winds, are those attributed to Manwë?
So
I'm even thinking like, you know, we're talking about like there are other forces at work besides the will of evil. So not only the Rohirrim and Rohan out here, but like forces that we can't even explain that have somehow are no longer like maybe directly in contact with us. Forces like Valar and Maiar.
Yeah.
That
we cannot see that will never be shown again. They've stepped out. They've said, this is your, but they're still there because
they're still there.
And mm-hmm. God dang it. This is
so like, isn't it crazy how this is tying into the Silmarillion now? Like I can totally see what people say. And people told us this. They said, when you read the Silmarillion, it will affect the way you process the Lord of the Rings. And like, cause that's where my mind, it's like, and I remember learning kind of like their powers or like what is it? Like the elements that they bind themselves to.
Yeah,
I remember kind of you sort of like helped me embrace some of that like digging when we were at Return of the King.
Oh yeah,
and remember it was some sort of like the clouds cleared or in Mordor.
Oh my!
And right
gosh.
At the end, and we were like, "Whoa, is that divine?
Where did
like,
that come
is that
from?
The spirit realm? Yeah, what the hell? What was that? That came out of nowhere,
right?
So, dude. And like, those winds and breezes, were they carrying messages? Like in the same way that Aragorn felt the earth speaking to him, was the wind communicating something from?
Yeah, for sure.
My God, I don't know.
And then as we learn more about the Valar and Maiar, like in the Silmarillion, like what's the tie in with the earth and the trees and all those different things and the spirits that are still kind of at play there, the other forces at work. And Gandalf would be the guy who would know that and who would say that, and it would echo throughout the series, you know. Now let me get us into something here too. This ring here, I'm staying here for a second.
Yeah.
So the writers did not show themselves against the light. The orcs wasted many arrows shooting at the fires. They shot at the fires, and the riders with their horses made no sound. And I think of silence, and I think of like
silence.
You know, they're making no sound, and so okay, there's an element of silence there. Later in the night, when the moon came out of the mist, then occasionally they could be seen, shadowy shapes that glinted now and again in the white light, and they moved in ceaseless patrol. Just freaking stalking them.
Yeah,
just,
dude, this is all coming back to me.
There's so much. This is one paragraph. I mean, this is just one paragraph of like what was happening in this exact moment. So, and then one of the orcs is sort of saying, they'll wait for the sun, curse them, growled one of the guards. Why don't we get together and charge through, right? You know, what's his name? Yeah. Ugluk. What's Ugluk think he's doing, right?
Yeah,
I should like to know. And then, so here we go. They're talking about this group, and this is where we lead right up to the Filthy Horse Boys. They're calling them different names. And then there's the Filthy Horse Boys, name for a podcast.
That's a band name.
Put that on the shirt.
On the shirt, yeah.
Actually, really, honestly, come up with a, like, that should be one of the new shirts that we put on TeePublic very soon.
Yes, it should
the
be.
The Filthy Horse Boys. Okay.
The Filthy Horse Boys.
There's only one thing maggots can do. They can see like gimlets in the dark, but these white skins have better night eyes than most men. So from all I've heard, and also don't forget their horses. And it goes on to describe their horses and the men as they can see the night breeze, or so it's said.
Whoa.
So hold on, Lane. The night is not something that we can see. A breeze is not something that we can see.
Right.
Yet they can see the night breeze.
They can see it.
And I just think, like, how dangerous is that? How freaking dangerous. These other forces at work in Middle Earth are here, and they're stalking them. And it's just an epic moment. It's an epic entrance for the riders of Rohan.
And also, like, we don't know who they are yet. Because, I mean, like, it's so interesting to try and read this from the perspective of, like, not remembering how the stories go.
Yeah.
Because that could also be kind of, it could be a terrifying thing. Like, who are they aligned with?
Absolutely.
You know,
because
we know about
shadowy
all the infighting,
walking.
Shadowy figures. Mm-hmm. They sound kind of like, honestly, I mean, they sort of sound like the Wraiths, the Ring Wraiths.
Right.
I mean, like that kind of like specter in the night where you're thinking like, holy crap. Are these enemies of the orcs and the Uruk-hai? Like, are they gonna, like, would they take Merry and Pippin and hold them captive too? Yeah. Like, what are their intentions?
Right, right.
It's not like totally settling. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're like, oh, well, these are good guys. It's like they can see the night breeze. Like,
yeah, yeah.
They can sense it all. Like, there's no hiding from them.
They're surrounded.
Man.
They're actually using the light against them, right? They've,
yeah,
like,
right.
Like you, like that's
which
the,
is
that's
ironic too,
thing.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's distorting sort of what the orcs are seeing. And so to me, what's crazy is that very moment. And I remember you, like, talking to you, like, could you imagine being one of those guys in between a couple? Just imagine the Ring of Fires, right? And they're separated. Yeah. There's darkness between them, and that's where they're laying, yeah, right? Yeah. A lot of them are like, but you shoot an arrow in there, you're not hitting anybody. And these are the guys who can see the night breeze, and just laying there next me and you. I think I even said, me and you laying side by side, and we're scouting, we're crawling, and the horses don't make a noise, not a noise. That's how they get around them. And so this is the second night that Aragorn slept, that he made, they give him the choice. The pursuit is going all that day one, and they just run until they're dog tired, and then night's coming, and then they have to make a choice. The first choice that they make, they give to Aragorn, and he says sleep. Mm-hmm. The next night... Mm-hmm. The next night is when the attack happens, but the first night is when they found out about the... And I could be slightly off in that. You could go back and kind of say, like, was that exactly...
No, yeah.
But, like, if you piece back to how many days back he was talking about when the scouts picked up the news that this orc pack was moving through, it lines up perfect, I think. I could be wrong, and I would love for somebody to get that technical. I would love that. So, if somebody wants to fact check
minute
me on
by
this,
minute.
Like, please give me I looked for a timeline of it, and I thought, no, this is the best I can come up with, so I think this is where it's at.
I'll take
and
your
it makes
version.
Sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense because in the second night, when the sun rises, it's red. Blood was shed that night. They destroy them.
Shed.
They destroy them.
Man.
And I just wanted to kind of... To bring us back to that moment for a second, because we just came up with the Night Breeze segment, and I just felt like as we tie into that and we do Moments of Middle Earth, it was a good hybrid blend of those two to show folks what these moments of Middle Earth will be like, because I loved that moment. I loved thinking about that with you, and I love just, you know, there's so many good moments, like the Black Riders, you know, Glorfindel, all the different things, but it's like, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was
ones
a
that
good
we
one.
Forget. We forget we even shared, sort of.
Right.
Like, I'm like, it's a shame there wasn't more time. This is where you could almost argue for a, not a remake of films, But like, again, we've talked about this before, a TV series that is The Lord of the Rings, that is a season for each book, an episode, a chapter, and you could let some of these like moments like breathe, where you could see this, because this is something, this tension that is in the movies. They're taking a rest, they're getting a fire going, and the Rohirrim just sweep in and clean them up.
Yeah.
So there's not as much tension that's built, but like this version is, I would dare say, even more exciting, because it's literally all that, all the tension like that's building up to the anticipation of what's going to happen. This who is behind this?
They're stalking
ring, like,
them.
What? They're stalking them. They got them trapped
and surrounded, and they're. I mean, it's
and they're,
yeah,
they're messing with their heads
off
before they destroy them. Yep. Yep.
Psychological.
They're torturing
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nuts. You guys should not have thought you can cross this land.
Nope.
Absolutely, like unchecked like this, like harassing and,
nope.
And no, this that's it. Aemir said, "I've had enough." Where are they at?
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because it does show too that like even though Saruman has a hold over Theoden, he has no influence over Aemir, and that there are a ton of men and women in Rohan who are not influenced whatsoever. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Speaking of the dual forces working in that land, Aemir is one of those guys for his kingdom.
Wow, that is crazy.
It was another force, like just working for the good, working for the light. And you've got old Wormtongue over there, old Grim, still spitting poison. So anyway, and that's the point. Is sort of like as we come to the end of this episode, I'll give you the choice. Do we press on, or is now a good time to call it a night and take a little sleep? What do you think? Please.
Well, fittingly,
please, God.
I can answer that question with my favorite mantra. What would Aragorn do?
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.